This is a podcast from Consilio. We bring people together to create better places.
Hello, and welcome to Better Places, the podcast from Consilio, where we talk about business, politics, planning, and development. This week, we are joined by Councillor Anthony Okereke, leader of the Royal Borough of Greenwich. We discuss his plans for the borough, tackling the housing crisis, and his predictions for the local election.
Hello and welcome to the Better Places podcast with me, Sadu Dwyer, and Councillor Anthony Okereke, leader of the Royal Borough of Greenwich. Welcome, Anthony.
Thank you for having me. The first time I've been here.
It's not the first time you've been here, but it's the first time you've been interviewed by me. So
yes,
we'll hopefully have a good show. We've got a number of questions to ask, and we're also marking 2 years since you've become leader of the council, which we'll come on to a bit later on. But yeah, it's a delight to have you, and hopefully we'll have a great show.
Great. I'm excited to be here. You know, speaking about our vision, speaking about Greenwich, it's what I like to do. And what better place to do it at?
Exactly. And Consilio's Better Places podcast. So we'll kick off with Homes for London, a pamphlet that we're launching later this week, in which you are leading the document. In the foreword, it's a pamphlet that we're working with the Fabians, Local Government and Housing Members Group, to promote ideas from across local government. And what better person to lead it than Anthony, who's the leader of Greenwich, but also professionals from across industry about boosting housing growth, taking advantage of upzoning ideas that we've found from across the world, and actually looking to provide some answers. Also, some challenging questions for our leaders, both in kind of local government, regional government, and whomever will take the leave the power in Whitehall. I wonder if you could touch on perhaps your contribution in the Homes for London pamphlet and what you've seen in your time as leader and some of the reflections that you've had.
Yeah, so at the moment, as well as being leader, I have other things that I do, which includes being vice chair of the Fabian Society Local Government and Housing Policy Group. And it's, I think this pamphlet, Homes for London, is quite timely, actually. You know, we've got the mayoral election happening. Sadiq Khan's just come up with 40,000 new council homes commitments. You've got the general election coming. What better time to launch a policy paper that talks about the types of interventions that we need to take to deliver good housing, good quality housing, and start the conversation. Now, this is our second report that the Fabian Society has done. And I think, you know, in a time where we're seeing the amount of people in temporary accommodation rising, we really need fresh political ideas and policies. And we have to think radically. We have to think radically about policy making, because that is what the Fabian Society is all about. And I think Homes for London isn't just a pamphlet or words on a page, but almost I see it as a call to action in terms of what policies we can implement in London and across the country. And in it, we see, you know, a whole range of people from experts to academics to the industry to politicians all speaking with one voice, trying to tackle the housing crisis, trying to build and making sure that we back the builders, as Keir would say, and not the blockers. And I think, you know, Greenwich is prime to lead that. That's why I've written the foreword. And I think I introduce it in a way that talks about how a council is taking responsible interventions to tackle the housing crisis, which is all what I am passionate about.
Indeed. And should give a special shout out to the leaders of the local government and members policy group. Such a kind of typical Labour Party title there for an organisation. But Adam Orner and Christopher Worrell, who have worked with Consilio in compiling but also editing that document. And I saw that smile there because Anthony knows we in the Labour Party have very unique means of naming documents and membership groups. Just actually reflecting on your time that you've been leader, Anthony. So next May will mark 2 years and you'll lead the Greenwich Labour Group into the next local elections in 2026. What have you seen in your time as leader? Kind of any personal reflections on kind of taking forward new initiatives? And we will touch on your kind of 10-year regeneration plan shortly, but perhaps in the last 2 years, what have you learned and what do you intend to take forward in, as you kind of ramp up the kind of wheels of the Greenwich election machine?
Well, when I first became leader, I can just remember the day I was sitting in the chamber and they announced that I won. And you don't realise you're leader at that point. But the next day you definitely do. Because the weight of the authority just lifts and lands on your shoulders and everyone's asking you questions about where next. And in the last 2 years, I would say I've spent the last 2 years setting out our vision, getting us on a path. You know, the vision is all about improving the quality of life and health of our residents. It's almost like a public health approach to local government, but really focused on where we want to get to in 2030, getting my cabinet in place, you know, beginning to deliver policies, establishing and achieving the things we set out in our manifesto. And when I reflect now at the 2 year mark, we've largely achieved a lot of it. You know, we've brought forward a new housing agenda. Our 5,000 trees has come through. You know, we've brought through mental health support for all schools and children and young people in the borough through opening 8 wellbeing hubs. There's a lot of delivery that has happened in these last 2 years. And I guess my reflections 2 years in is I'm almost more hungry, more ambitious for Greenwich because I know I can do more. And I know we collectively as a council can do more from providing excellent services, but to also thinking about what innovation looks like in local government. And I always have wanted to be an innovating leader. I don't want to be mediocre. I want to be the best. And being the best means that it allows me to deliver for my residents. So, you know, I got into politics to tackle poverty, you know. So the very fact that this year we're spending 1.3 million investing in wellbeing homes, it's to tackle poverty and make sure people grow up in the borough, able to go to school and interact with their education without the mental health crisis that we see these days. It's a start, but imagine the possibilities of a Labour council, a Labour mayor, and a potential Labour government.
Indeed.
I think that's something I'm quite excited about. So the next 2 years is focusing on getting sure that alignment is there and making sure that my policies lead into the regional, lead into the national, and help deliver for Greenwich residents.
Absolutely. And that sounds like your election message.
Doesn't it? I think I've just written it.
Oh, indeed. You can listen to this podcast again.
Guys, welcome to the election address.
Election address. Let's hope we don't have to declare that to the Electoral Commission. But thank you so much. And actually, I think that's a great segue into kind of 10-year regeneration plan. Now, it's no secret that councils, not just like Greenwich, but across London and the UK, are facing lots of difficult financial challenges and bringing forward new housing, but also kind of major regeneration and renewal schemes. I wonder if you could touch on a report that was passed only recently in your cabinet, your 10-year regeneration plan, and delve a bit more into the commissions that plan has and what you have in store for some of your town centres.
Thank you. So it's really interesting, the point about finance and the cost constraints or the cost pressures that councils face. It's hard. It's really, really difficult setting a budget. And every single one we've done, I've been very, very proud of how we've been able to protect frontline services, still deliver on our political priorities, because that's what we're there to do. But also think about, within that context, how you deliver. And fundamentally, one thing I am very passionate about, it's why you'll see me here speaking about development, I'm passionate about housing. You know, I think of Greenwich as an authority that is actively putting in interventions to tackle the housing crisis. And that means you have to have the right attitude to doing that. And we have a lot of opportunity areas in Greenwich that have, under the circumstances of this environment that we are, have ground to a halt. You know, Charlton Riverside is a key example. So, you know, we've worked up a regeneration strategy for the borough. If we're going to be bold about regeneration in the borough, we have to have a vision for it. And together, we've got about 7 areas that our regeneration strategy focus on. It's a 10-year plan. And it's not just a 10-year plan. It's a 10-year plan with money in it. We've set up a new regeneration team. We did that in year one of my leadership. And we've allocated up to £825,000 to focus on re-looking at some of our opportunity areas and how we almost inject energy to get them moving again. Mm. And all of that is all about delivery, 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 partnership working, and making sure that we can unlock those things that are stopping development from coming forward. So it's a bold vision. It's starting off with thinking about we're focused more on using urban regeneration frameworks. Mm. Obviously, we have our local plan, but within that, we want to focus on using urban regeneration frameworks so we can get in there quickly, set out a vision for an area, and where the council has powers to help convene or do land assembly, we will do that. So it's all about bringing places together. It's also about thinking about talking to partners and who's interested. And that's largely what it's about. Now, obviously, we have our town centres as well, and we're really focused on all of our different town centres about unlocking. We have our High Streets Fund that we won for Woolwich recently. We've directly invested into Plumstead. Abbeywood is an area that is shaping up with a new Crossrail station.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we don't just want piecemeal development in Abbeywood. We've put money together to get a vision, a coherent vision, so that Abbeywood comes together in terms of a place. And I think it's one thing that I'm very passionate about is place making. You know, have you ever gone to those towns outside of London where you just see like houses with no shops? I can't stand that. Mm. You know, that's a shout out to the Volume House Builders. Hey, guys. but do better. You know, if you've ever gone to those kind of places, that's not what I want Greenwich to look like. Nice. I want Greenwich to have its own, you know, areas where people walk, cycle, shops nearby, leisure nearby. And I think that's why we've invested so much money in shaping a vision around specific key town centres in our area so that we can benefit from the very best of placemaking. Woolwich is a great example of that. When the football's on or the Olympics on, everyone's in the town centre, sitting on those benches, watching the TV. It's our own little village, but it's a great place and a great space.
No, absolutely. And I think, having touched on not just Abbey Wood, but also Woolwich Town Centre, which, you know, council in the Woolwich area, what do you think makes those two areas quite unique? Are they going to have their own kind of identity, or is there a kind of formula that Greenwich has taken in bringing some of this forward? And then I wonder if you could touch on Plumstead Town Centre and plans there, particularly around strategic industrial land, which for our listeners is can be a constraint, but it's also a really great opportunity for businesses who want to kind of build up their capacity. But then we also need to think about the houses that we bring forward in those areas there too. So I wonder if you could touch on just a bit more around the identity of those particular areas, how you see something like Plumstead coming forward and the constraints from strategic industrial land, and yeah, what makes Abbeywood a unique spot for Greenwich Council to bring forward.
So I think if you look at those areas, what you see is a council putting its money where its mouth is. You know, in Woolwich, we've invested in a new leisure centre, which has been built. We've invested in Woolwich Works, our new cultural quarter. And very soon you're going to see Black Eats, the food festival, coming there, amongst other things.
Someone texted me about that.
Yeah,
weekend,
including right? Nike doing some work down there. So, you know, Woolwich Works is our version. Well, I don't want to say our version. It's very unique. but it is probably, if not larger than the South Bank Centre. As an example. So it's our cultural quarter, and that's popping off. And that's council investment, council invested in capital projects to be able to deliver cultural regeneration, which is fantastic. When you turn your eyes to Plumstead, you'll see what the council's done in terms of building a fantastic new library and space. And we've also done a shopfronts program to make Plumstead more welcoming. But we've also worked with developers like Barclay down there to unlock housing delivery, and I think they're building up to circa more than 1,000 homes in the Plumstead area, of which, you know, falls into our wider vision of the Thamesmead and Abbeywood opportunity area. And, you know, West Thamesmead, that area in Plumstead, is part of all of that. So we've got fantastic housing delivery development going on at the moment. The government's just announced money for a bus rapid transit from West Thamesmead all the way to Woolwich to catch up with Crossrail. And then you have places like Abbey Wood and Thamesmead, which we're working with the mayor to get the Beckton to DLR extension. But in somewhere like Abbey Wood, which is, you know, predominantly, you know, houses, you know, you just plonk New Elizabeth Line. It changes the nature of the area.
Mm.
And I think, you know, our local plan, you know, is probably from 2014, you know. So what will that vision be? You know, and I think there's a new opportunity there to shape that in the context of you have a transport hub. And where there is a transport hub, we know there's an opportunity for higher density. We know there's an opportunity for great homes and great places. Because, you know, from Abbey Wood, you're probably in Canary Wharf in less than, you know, 14 minutes. You know, so we want to shape that area, set out a vision in that area and see what it can be. It's not going to be Woolwich. You know, all of our areas are really distinct. But actually what we want to do is define them and make sure we can help support them come forward. You know, we've got student accommodation going up in the area, build to rent accommodation going up in the area. And that all forms part of it and part of that sense of place.
Thank you. And talking about sense of place, you've named a fleet of different train lines and services that run through your borough. I didn't fully appreciate just how many you do have cutting through Greenwich.
The Greenwich lobby is very strong. You know, we definitely fight for our place. And that's why, you know, over the years, Greenwich has benefited from great stewardship. The council that I lead, I'm grateful that it took the placards of the government and asked for Crossrail. You know, it wasn't initially supposed to be going to Woolwich. And we're doing the very same thing now with the DLR and trying to get that extension into East.
And talking about Black East, because I've been to the one in Hackney, and someone texted me at the weekend, and I can't for the life of me remember who, mentioned that it's coming to Greenwich. I wonder, that cultural offer, what do you see as a kind of the future of Greenwich? Is it its cultural offering? Is it a place that people should live? How would you sell the borough in the next 10 years as part of this regeneration plan as a place that people should come to? Mm. What's your message? I have to put you on the spot here, but perhaps you can edit it out a little bit. What's your cultural offer to Greenwich? What's the draw?
I mean, you know, I always think about Greenwich as the place when I'm walking past people, everyone just, you know, giving a nod and smiling at you. It's the place that I grew up washing cars that gave me that sense of community. And when I talk to residents, you know, I talk to people who have lived in the borough their whole life, and I talk to people who are new to the borough. And I think we have a great sense of community and a great sense of unique spaces. You know, the Royal Observatory is very different from North Greenwich. You know, North Greenwich is very different from Woolwich. And I think, you know, you have different spots. You know, if you go to Greenwich Town Centre, you've got the little markets and the old eateries that are down there, which is very different from somewhere like Eltham, which is, you know, much more suburban and, you know, you have houses down there and all those kind of things. And, you know, you have the Eltham society who think about the preservation of the high street. It's a place of real cultural history. And I'm glad you asked me that question, because one of the next vision is about place. Mm. And we're going to be launching a place strategy that sets to establish what the narrative is, not just for Greenwich as a whole in terms of what we offer, but also by virtue of neighbourhoods. What's the narrative of our neighbourhoods and what's our place vision for our neighbourhoods? And that won't speak to just development, but it also speaks to community. You know, where do we want assets in the future? Who do we want Woolwich to be? We know we want Woolwich to be a metropolitan centre, but actually, what about the rest of Greenwich? So we're going to be focused on our place vision and going out and speaking to our residents about what this borough means to you and what is the story of it? What's its narrative? And from that, we can form a compelling narrative that allows us to position ourselves, one, on the international stage, on the regional stage, but also on the local and thinking about neighbourhoods. Mm. And actually, is this neighbourhood how we want it to be? And that, if that's what it is, then that's okay. And actually, do we want more investment there? And I think that place vision will help align where we next think of our next focus, where we invest our capital.
Thank you. And for the benefit of our listeners, no need to edit that at all. It came straight off the top of his head. I've actually found myself in Greenwich quite frequently. For those listening, starting to do a weekly 5K, which Anthony said you're going to join me.
I will. I love running. Can I just say, my excuse right now is that I have an injury. And
that's always the excuse.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem.
That's always the excuse. It's usually that someone's had a knee injury because they used to play football, but now we'll see. We can do some warm-ups.
We can do some warm-ups. Jumping jacks.
Jumping jacks. I like the calf muscle.
Jumping exercise. Jacks and brownies.
So I usually meet a group on Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and we all convene at North Greenwich Station, and we run from the top, the kind of part there that connects to Canary Wharf all the way down to Cutty Sark. And I have to say, the work that has been done there to turn Cutty Sark and Greenwich Village into a real place that you want to be is something that, for me, I hadn't fully appreciated until kind of exhausted at the end of that kind of half an hour run, and really embracing not just the lots of the kind of food offering that's around there, but also the park itself.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? And you know what? So we even have more plans to try and pedestrianise the Cutty Sark area, because if you go around, there's lots of traffic, lots of air pollution. But more importantly, when I talk about opportunity areas, one of my biggest visions is how you go straight from the Cutty Sark all the way to Thamesmead. One straight path. You have the Thames path down there, and we want continuous, uninterrupted ways where people can just walk and enjoy the riverfront. You know, we in Greenwich have the largest part of the riverfront of any London borough, and it's actually for our benefit to think about how we use it, how we unlock it. And I think that's what that place vision is going to speak to, in terms of, you know, unlocking the water, how you use it, you know, but also how we as residents and visitors interact with it. And hopefully get more running groups. And maybe, I might do the 1K down there. Because five is a lot to start with.
You know, five is a lot to start with. And I have to say, I ran half of it and then walked the rest of it. So I shouldn't point fingers. But it's certainly a place to start. The group is very lovely. And Greenwich is one of the two boroughs that we run in. There's in Mile End on a Thursday, and then Sunday morning we're going to get the lead of the Royal Borough out with us, and he can start with a 5K, well, 1K warm up, and then we'll hopefully find our way down to Cutty Sark. Just moving on slightly to Mayor Sadiq Khan's pledge to bring forward 40,000 new council homes by 2030. What part does Greenwich play in that, do you think? And how hard are you lobbying the mayor to get a good portion of those 40,000 homes that he's planning to bring forward?
Well, in my last meeting with Tom Copley, I said, Tom, we're really proud of the fact that you've committed 40,000 council homes to deliver. And I asked him, is the 40,000 for Greenwich?
That's probably your entire house.
Yeah. Well, it's more than my HRA. Yeah. He laughed but didn't answer. But we're really happy with that commitment. You know, it's hugely ambitious. Over the last 2 years, we've been able to deliver housing, and none of that would have been possible without the mayor, without his Homes for London funding. None of that would have been possible. You know, the cost pressures out there of building a home is challenging. You know, I often say, you know, we know we don't have a full injection of public housing, a public housing fund to go in to build council homes. We get grant and we borrow it to be able to deliver, and sometimes we use, you know, contributions. So it's really, really difficult. And if you, even now, it's even difficult to build a market home. So imagine trying to build a social home. And so it's quite difficult. So without the Mayor of London, you know, at the moment, we initially had a 750 home commitment to build 750 zero carbon homes, which were very on par to deliver. Then we did an additional 1,000 homes, which were also delivering. But obviously, with what's happening in the market, you know, where slightly tangent our strategy or tilting our strategy a little bit, where we're buying properties off the market because, one, it means I don't have to tender and go through all of that process and build. And I can just buy homes that are not necessarily being built, are not necessarily being sold at the moment, and thus keeps the market going in the borough. So we're buying properties off the open market whilst also delivering and building our homes. And it's proved successful. And I'll just give an example. You know, recently we have bought circa 133 properties from two different developers. And the Mayor of London has given us about 240,000 to 270,000 per home. That's a lot of money. That's millions. And that's just by going back to the mayor and saying, look, have you got any money left to help us deliver? So they've been really, really great. And we're really, really proud to work with Sadiq Khan. And therefore, I know his 40,000 home commitment, I don't think he'll just achieve it. I think he'll smash it out of the park. With boroughs like us, who are really thinking about not just building, but delivery, buying and regenerating, and that ability to have the tenacity to say, look, we want to do this here, and we think that might be a good idea. And they actually say, actually, no, we can help you with that. I think, you know, if we think like that, we can get a lot done. So I'm very happy with his commitment. And I think, you know, Sadiq has shown that London is serious about council housing and serious about intermediate housing as well, because he works very well with the G15 and housing associations. And actually, if you look to London, you see an opportunity that can be reflected across the country. Everything is about our, you know, we're very much pushing that one community agenda. And I, rather than say our housing, I said, no, actually, what we're trying to do here is house Greenwich. It's trying to house people that are having to be pushed outside of the borough. It's trying to house people that are having to leave to go to other areas. It's trying to house people who are in temporary accommodation. You know, why should a family of nine be living in a one-bedroom flat? That is the reality. And therefore, I named it Housing Our Greenwich, because that's exactly what I want to do. I want to house people in Greenwich. So let's house our community.
It made a lot of sense to me after you
explained it. But yeah, go on, you said about the report.
No, but I think the substance of the report is something that I think for anybody who does have the time to read it, and I'm sure that there are kind of equal write-ups there, it is a very ambitious plan.
It is a very ambitious plan. And you know, like, you said it was my baby. I was there editing and saying, changing words in the report, because it is a labour of love, you know. We have 20,000 council homes, and, you know, we are spending 21 million to retrofit at this present moment of time. In Eltham, we're doing 650 homes, you know, like individual homes and not flats. And, you know, we're doing the retrofit stuff, but retrofit can only go so far in some sense. You know, there are real estates and real land masses that can be reimagined. And, you know, Housing Our Greenwich is all about that renewal piece. It's all about that neighbourhood piece. I don't see a state region as something as I come in, I tear down and I rebuild. And some people still live there and some people don't. I see estate renewal as about rethinking a neighbourhood.
Absolutely.
And having the existing residents contribute to that. And that's what Housing Our Greenwich is about. And I'm so serious about it that that report gives permission for me to submit areas of housing, established housing, into my local plan. And I don't think you will see that in a lot of places. The very fact that, you know, estates might go into my council, my local plan, lets you know how serious we are about renewal and creating new neighbourhoods.
I think working with Councillor Aidan Smith and the rest of your cabinet, how do you think bringing forward an estate renewal plan like this one, and one thing I found really quite interesting there was the estates board is going to be quite challenging. Do you think there's appetite there amongst your residents to relook at some of their estates, and how can you learn from some of the kind of challenges that other council leaders have faced, but even uniquely in Greenwich over the last 10, 20 years?
So you could walk around the estates in Greenwich and they'll tell you, when are you going to regenerate this estate? I have people saying that, you know, and I know which states really need it. So I think there is an appetite. But I think when you're developing new housing, there is an anxiousness and nervousness that comes from the fact that you're going to lose your home and you might get a new home or your entitlements might change. And that's understandable. We have to do a lot of work to understand that and factor that in the process. But we also have the mayor's best guide or practice for ballots, you know, and we'll adhere to all of that as well. I think what the board will do is obviously it allows the officers and partners and the political to think very strategically about how they approach it, and also doing it in a way that encourages engagement and continuous engagement, but not just engagement, actually, partnership. Not just partnership with partners who can develop, but partnership with residents who want to be part of that process, who want to lead the process. You know,
not to be able to shape the process.
Exactly. Not and encourage those who aren't just who aren't even engaged. You know, residents knocking on other residents' doors saying, how do we recreate our neighbourhood? Rather than it just being a sense of house. You know, I think that's what Housing Our Greenwich is going to seek to do. It's all about a sense of a neighbourhood. And in the report, there is a commitment. And, you know, it's really, this was really a battle, this one. It was a commitment to have an increase in affordable homes across the whole stock. And I'm going to hold ourselves accountable to that. It's going to be hard to do. And I've had some naysayers. I saw someone on a social media platform saying, oh, I don't think this is what the council should be doing in this costly environment. And I'm not interested.
Extraordinary statement.
All right. What I'm interested in saying is that if you don't prepare now, you won't be ready for the future. And we must prepare now. So all the work we're doing right now is all about looking at estates, you know, doing that data-driven work that allows us to be informed about how we focus our next capital of funding. We don't want to be investing in upgrading kitchens and bathrooms if the housing stock isn't great, if it's not keeping people warm. So there's a data analytic piece that needs to be done, and we are preparing to be ready when there is a new government so that Greenwich can go knocking on their doors because we've done the work. So to the naysayers, goodbye. And we will continue to deliver.
No, absolutely, and you should. And part of that delivery plan...
Yes, part of that delivery plan is that we also have a dedicated social value policy, which is going to be thinking about how we get secure the benefits that come from development through training, education, skills, and all manner of things.
I was going to touch on that. You nearly completed my sentence, but I was going to ask you around Digital Greenwich Connect, which is currently a kind of program for businesses. I wonder if, as part of, it's actually a good thing that you touched on the kind of social value piece. Are you planning to roll that out to houses too? Are you trying to build up your kind of Wi-Fi and internet connectivity infrastructure for not just businesses but housing?
Yeah. So first of all, I'll start by saying Greenwich Council is the only council that has its own innovation company. Or should I say innovation consultancy called DG Cities. And early days of the Olympics, we were doing all of that smart city work for London. And that's kind of evolved into, you know, being more intelligent about fly tipping, being more intelligent about how we retrofit, being more intelligent and digital about how we deal with crime and safety issues. So we have our own consultancy that we use, and we support a lot of councils across the UK. But as well as that, we also have a vision about connectivity in the borough. And therefore, we've placed money into this. We've created Digital Greenwich Connect, which is a commercial joint venture between our innovation company and ITS Technology Group. And all of that is about accelerating connectivity in the borough. So you often hear about digital inclusion. You often hear about the need to lay fiber optics. Well, in Greenwich, we recognise we can't just leave it to the market because the market will go where it's profitable. So instead, what we've said is we'll do a joint venture with the market and we'll both profit from it, but also make sure we get businesses connected and houses connected. And we're focused on areas that don't necessarily have great connectivity. Places like Woolwich, Now, my ambition is as we do that place vision, as we do that housing renewal piece, and as we do that 10-year regeneration plan, it comes together into a one core vision of connectivity. As we are developing the borough, how are we making sure that it has the best connectivity to do that? So, you know, up till now, we've invested about £1 million alongside our joint venture partner to roll out 21K kilometres of fibre to premises in the Woolwich area. And I think there's a wider piece of work that's going to come in the next 2 years, thinking about how I would budgetary make that happen through my budget process. But it's really exciting because we had a launch with all private sector partners in Woolwich Works, and it was great. You know, it was great. It was innovation. And I think that's what councils need to be. We can't afford to sit down and say, you know, oh, you know, there's all these terrible things happening. Councils are so used to innovating in the backdrop of so many cuts that we're facing. And I think loads of councils are doing it. But for those who need even more support, use DG Cities.
Thank you very much. And just a kind of final element of the plan, and you touched on this earlier around your retrofitting and making Greenwich kind of more energy efficient borough, borough-wide. I wonder, and you touched on this, sometimes the market has its own kind of agenda. How do you see kind of retrofitting element of your Housing on Greenwich scheme playing out? And what kind of targets and ambitions do you have for your own council housing stock, but also any market properties that are coming forward?
Well, retrofitting is a really difficult thing because as an industry, we need to figure out how we retrofit whilst keeping it affordable for the resident. And if you look at what leaseholders are going through as a result of a retrofit programme,
absolutely,
and the level of costs that they have to face from contributions as a result of leaseholder law, it retrofit's quite difficult. And we have to be really honest about what stock is actually worth retrofitting. You can retrofit all you want, but if the building fabric isn't there, it's really not that, you know, effective. And you know, it's a question of whether we just renew the stock. And I think we have to be bold and ambitious to say, here's what we're going to retrofit, and here's what's worth retrofitting, and here's what we're going to become, what will become renewal. But yes, like I said, £21 million going into our decarbonisation agenda, 650 homes in the Eltham area, and we won £5 million from government. We are now putting our own money to take that up to £21 million and continuously delivering that. So we have a 430 carbon capital programme for our existing housing stock. But also we're building sustainable homes. And I think that's the way out, is that we need to invest in building homes of the future and making sure that they're zero carbon. You know, I go to people who are in a zero carbon home in Greenwich, and they're telling me that they pay about £1,000 or less for the year for their energy bills.
No.
That's amazing. You know, in a cost of living crisis, we are able to bring energy bills right down. And had the Liberal Democrats and the Conservative not scraps the objectives for the industry to move to deliver sustainable homes back then in 2010, we might not be in this position where so many people are suffering as a result of cold homes, if not dying in cold homes, and we're here encouraging people to go to warm banks. I don't really want warm banks. I want people in just good, sustainable homes.
Absolutely. And just on that, what would your ask be? I'll come on to the mail next. For the next government, we've touched quite a lot about the work that and the interventions that Greenwich Council are taking and that you're doing on a regional level. What would you want to see from the next government, whatever stripe that may be?
I think when you don't have a house, it's really difficult to turn a new chapter. You know, housing is so fundamental. I'm probably passionate about housing because it's the one fortunate thing I've had in the midst of crisis from my own story and my own upbringing. And that's why I'm really passionate about housing. And I think for people to be able to turn a new chapter in their life and progress and have better welfare, fundamentally, they need good housing. And that's what Maslow's hierarchy of needs talks about. So I think it's thinking about how we have a public sector building programme that thinks about council housing and that uses local government to deliver it. I think local government has shown that we can be trusted. It has shown that we can deliver. And we have shown that we get the commercial sense of housing delivery, apart from a few blips here and there. But largely, councils are delivering council homes in a good quantity. Not enough, but in good quantity. And therefore, for me, that one call to action is about funding local government to be able to deliver the next era of council housing and give us the trust and the unlocking of some of the rules that restrain us from doing that.
And just building on that, I wonder, on a pan-London level, what your one ask would be of the next mayor?
You know, I think for Sadiq, it's just keep being Sadiq. You know, there's this video that I posted the other day, which saw the council buy 30 new properties off the open market, and the mayor has given us 240,000 per property to buy it. And, you know, it's a really emotional video for me because I could, you know, in there I was almost near on tears, seeing families who have lived in overcrowded accommodation, a family of, you know, nine living in a one-bedroom room, people sharing beds. You know, I think there was a story of a woman whose son, for the first time, was able to have his own room. And it's things like that that the mayor has been able to help us unlock and deliver. And that's what I want from a London mayor. That's what I think is needed. It's a bold leader who helps councils deliver for London collectively because we are a global city.
Thank you so much. And this has been one of the more enjoyable podcast interviews that I've had, Anthony. And I think you look to some of the work that not just the Royal Borough of Greenwich is doing, but lots of the partners that you're working with across London, the Mayor's Office and working with national government to bring forward new homes is something that lots of your colleagues will look to. And I hope that in the coming years, your residents and lots of the visitors like myself to Greenwich will see some of the great placemaking and the opportunities and the new homes that are being brought forward. A great tribute to your council, your Labour group, and to the many officers and partners that you work with. So thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you next Sunday, and we'll look forward to seeing our next guest on the Better Places podcast. Thank you.
Well, that's it from us. Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Places. You can listen to our back catalogue of episodes at conciliocomms.com/podcast. And don't forget to like and subscribe on whatever platform you listen on. Bye-bye for now.